Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keep it truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 334, stanzas 1 through 4. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light, it guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow, I now repeat. And what follows, 334, stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading is out of the book of the Psalms, Psalm 2, the second Psalm. First we read the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth said themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Thus far, the reading of the scriptures. We have to remember in prayer congregation Elder John Vandenbroek, who is still in the hospital, and Mrs. Elsbeth van Oort, who was admitted to the hospital but is home again. And then Mrs. Nell van Hutten, 80 years, Mr. John Liefting, 71, and Mr. and Mrs. Adrian and Jennifer Butijn, and Dirk and Linda Evers, who both hope to commemorate their 25th wedding anniversary this week. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Lord, in the heavens and among thy people and thy own institutions, who has spared our lives hitherto, who opens the doors of the places of worship where we have to go with our children if we may have them, where we hope to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches, where we have to confess our deep fall in our covenant head, Adam, our manifold shortcomings and transgressions of thy holy law, in our thoughts, our words and our deeds, so much which is not according to the scriptures, and yet, Lord, still living, and not only living, because we have that with millions, but then that distinguishment and that separation, that we are on thy holy Sabbath day, not on the beach, not in traveling, and all what the world is doing, but that we are listening to what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. And that takes place by reading and also by preaching. And eternity will show if there were more converted by reading than by preaching. Thou knowest it. But there are among us who can tell a beginning under a reading sermon. And there are others that it happened when one was preaching. And there are others, they don't know the beginning. They know a beginning, but I cannot say when, hour, and what day. But the fruits of the life, they speak, they show it. Oh, then we command the congregation unto thee, the Lord, if thou wilt convert the unconverted, also of our youth, our dear boys and girls. In general, the life is filled in the days and the nights with many things which are not really necessary. And in general, they do not know that much of whom thou art and whom they are and who Jesus Christ is. But that is what they need to know. And that's why we lay them all before thee in our supplication with their parents, if they still have a father and mother, with their brothers and sisters when they are older, to give the right example to the younger ones. Wilt thou remember us today? Visit thy people, Lord. Thou knowest their circumstances so very well. They may not deny a beginning, but they never understood what it meant. He must increase and I must decrease. That goes against our flesh. All that we have to learn over and over again. Without me, ye can do nothing. But then we beseech thee, look upon the congregation from on high and touch this heart and that heart of young and old and the middle age on the way to eternity. Remember sick and afflicted ones, one of the brothers of the consistory also in the hospital. Wilt thou visit him from on high? And Lord, 'tis many years ago that we got to know them. Then the years are climbing. Oh, give that hope in thee and that expectation on the basis of the scriptures. We command all the cases of sickness, the handicapped ones, and the mourning ones too, where they have the confrontation with an empty chair and an empty bed, that they cannot return to the times before, but it is in their memory. And now to go further without a dear wife, without a dear husband, without dear children, or without parents or brothers or sisters. Oh, wilt thou fill that empty places with thyself? We command thy church unto thee. Wilt thou dwell among thy children? Not only here, but worldwide. Lord, it is for thou in one glance, in one second, that thou seest them all, thou knowest their circumstances, or where they have maybe opposition, and an openly hatred, and anger against them. That is for the flesh difficult, but it can be for the soul very instructive and very necessary. And it is according to the scriptures in this world. You shall maybe know, you shall have all kind of opposition. You shall have oppression. You shall have to learn who you yourself are. That it is true without me. Ye can do nothing. Wilt thou then visit today thy church, and may it please thee, Lord, to increase them in number, but also in the exercises of that true saving faith. Wilt thou be worldwide with the places where they come together in thy name. May we have that also today at this place. Wilt thou open thy word this morning. Let nothing hinder us in listening. Can happen during a sermon that Satan tries to disturb and tries to take away our concentration and dedication. But, O Lord, thou art above it, and thy people is so happy when for a moment he has to be silent, and that they receive in their heart that echo of that true doctrine, and that hope is renewed. Then they may know that they are on the right way, which is also the narrow way and the small way, but a certain way. Oh, remember them. Help worldwide thy people, thy servants. Remember them also in our denomination. Give from time to time new students that may be a matter of prayer. And wilt thou help then also the instruction of those young men? Wilt thou look upon us as congregations? And wilt thou prepare these things by thy Holy Spirit, that from time to time we are gladdened, not by what we are doing, but what thou art doing? Give us this morning light from above, the opening of the scriptures, and also the support and the assistance of the Aarons and the Hurs. Make it an hour that may be someone coming in as always, but then leaving different when the arrow was driven by thy Spirit right into the heart. And then it is for sure coming home that the first what they have to do is to bow the knees and to fold their hands and to call upon thy name. That's the one thing needful. That's what we need to know. On the way to eternity, wilt thou so dwell among us with thy dear Holy Spirit. Grant then also thy people that the knowledge of Jesus Christ may increase. As it says in the scriptures, he must increase, and I must decrease. Grant that, O Lord, all then they know again that it is true in their life. Can be so dark, so complicated, and that there is so much coming against it from the outside, but also from the inside, and yet nothing of all these things are happening by chance. There's also thy ruling and thy government, and yet they have to follow. And if we are still a stranger of these things, and that is true for many of us, all that we beseech thee, wilt thou make today a beginning of that new spiritual life. Wilt thou so dwell among us with thy word and spirit, be worldwide with the churches. Give us also, where they have maybe not the possibility to come together as we do, but it is happy when we read in the Bible not 200 or 300 or 20 or 30, but where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. May that then also happen among us today. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins, in the taking away of our shortcomings, and that for him who is at the right hand of thee, the Father, whom thou hearest always, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue by singing 174, 1 through 4. O all ye peoples, bless our God, aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. What follows, 174, stanzas 1 through 4, and in the meantime your offering will be received. beloved congregation, where you hear the singing of a church, there you can sometimes have the thoughts, what will that be in heaven? Yeah. Because the Bible speaks about the glorification of God's church. In Dutch, there is a text and that says, ik zal eeuwig zingen van Gods goede tierenheid. I will sing forever of the Lord's loving kindness. And it is not in every congregation the same. But when as ministers you hear the singing, there lays in that singing a kind of an expectation that you hope to preach to them that they can sing. That is, when the Lord gave opening to that preacher, and there are souls among that audience who came with so many riddles and impossibilities, and that during the preaching it was solved. The Lord took it over for them. And that means the burden falls away. Then you hear in the singing something of that liberation. Yeah, as a prelude of what it will be in heaven. I hope that we may understand this. I told you more often that I said once to their mother, a converted woman, they say, mother, we have no doubt or you are converted, but why do you not sing more? Oh, she says, child, here I have so many burdens, but there, and excuse me for the Dutch, I shall translate it too. But she said in Dutch, daar zullen ze een goede arm hebben. There they will have in me a good one. Not that she was good, but in that singing. And sometimes in a sermon, we have in the goodness of the Lord, preached in all the congregations in North America and in the Netherlands too. So you hear it in very different churches, but the singing congregation especially. And I remember when we were at school that the late Reverend De Geer, he says, boys, if you have done your sermon, you shall hear in the last song of the congregation that it was an echo for their heart. Yeah. Because they came into that church with so many impossibilities. Do you have that too? And then during the sermon, no, the minister was not informed about his or her situation. But from above he got to speak, and they were hearing exactly the necessities and their impossibilities. And if that is then answered from the pulpit, and they say, Lord, now I may believe that thou knowest about my case and about whom I am. And a true singing congregation, that is as a prelude, because in heaven it will be forever. May he grant, and also in our singing, hearts and souls in whose heart and soul is something of that coming singing. To that end, we want this morning asking for your attention for our text in the second psalm. And the text is verse 8. So Psalm 2 verse 8, that we read these words. Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thus far. God's demand for asking him is our theme. God's demand for asking him. Then with his help, congregation, we have three different points. First, a required supplication. Secondly, a foretold regeneration. And our last and third point, very remarkable and worldwide incorporation. We repeat Psalm 2 verse 8, God's demand for asking him, as the text says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So, God's demand for asking him, then our first point, a required supplication. That is that ask of me, that is a supplication. A foretold regeneration, because I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Yeah, but they are unconverted. Yeah, I know, but I give them to you. That becomes your inheritance. That means then I shall work by using you as a tool in their hearts. So a foretold regeneration that is predicted, I shall give. That is then future. Well, he says it, but we know the Psalms. That's about 1,000 years before Christ, many of them. And that I shall give, that will happen. The heathen for thine inheritance, think here about mission and the missionary ministers. I told you more than once that when the late Reverend Kuyt was on his way to Irianjaya to begin the mission over there, and it was by boat, and they passed by the islands. It was all dark, trees and forests and everything. And he says to the person beside him, if I don't go over there, they are all lost. I told you that more often. That is overestimation? No. No. Not at all. That is knowing your call to be a missionary preacher. And he was not the only one. If you read from the United States, how many were sent that way? England, many other countries. So a required supplication, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine. Well, that's a nice inheritance. They know nothing. They have no Bible. They are not baptized. They eat one another. Do I have to go in that climb? Yeah, you have to. I sent you, the heathen for thine, because their soul is just so important as yours, becomes your inheritance. Do you have an inheritance? Yeah, I think you mean then maybe the farm or money or no. Not anything material, but spiritual. The inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, that is where they live for centuries already. And they died the way as they were born. There was not one Bible. There was not one sermon. There was not one prayer. But now I am sent to go and to be among them. To do what? To tell them that they are without God. Oh, you tell us we are without God. How is that about you? Well, he sent me to you. On behalf of him, I'm standing in front of you. Is there something wrong with me? Yeah, totally. Totally. And that is, you are without God. How do you know that? Yeah, that's a question. And then you have to tell your sending by your church. They sent me out. I come here on behalf of my institute, the church. I have a prayer people behind me. Miles and miles away. And now I come to tell you that you are on the wrong road. And I can tell you there is also another road. And you have to transfer from the one to the other. So you are going to do that? Well, instrumentally, yes. But God is doing that. Not me. He take me as a tool. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Do you now understand it, congregation? A required supplication. Ask of me. That's the Lord speaking. So that means that that missionary minister and all his helpers are first on the knees, ask of me. But is that not necessary for everything in our life? Teachers, and to whom is entrusted the whole school, grade 1 to 12, they are in front of you. You have, and what you teach, they believe what you teach. They believe it. And there is already something upon them, not in them, but upon them, boys and girls. What do I mean? Yeah, you say, I know that, Reverend. You talk about my baptism. Exactly. That's seclusion. You know that word? To be distinguished. I see that in your room. And what do you have in your ears? What are your favorite stations? Oh, are you a heathen maybe? No, I'm not. But then I think you have a great contradiction. And that is your baptized forehead and your electronic devices. God's demand for asking him a required supplication. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Now very reverently I ask you, is there not a better inheritance? Who are you to ask that, the Lord? You don't need to ask that. He does not make a mistake. No, but I know that there are cases that they did a few steps on the sand and they were killed. And they eat them up. So the heathen, that word is loaded. You give them to me, I shall give thee the hidden. Yeah, why to me? Because you have that true doctrine. And that means you have to bring that doctrine to them. And the Lord says, ask it me. I need to be the giver. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Is it nice people? No, just the opposite. Most of them are naked. And they have a language. I know not a word of it. A required supplication. That supplication, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Then one soul of one heathen has more importance than the whole world, than your whole farm, than your whole truck and everything. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, but then an inheritance where the gift is from me, that you bring me among them. That's the purpose. And here's my second point. A foretold regeneration, so a required supplication, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. But then here giving the heathen for thine inheritance. When it is an inheritance of you, then you have a bond with them. What is in your bond with them? Well, they are Gentiles. Yeah. But you come to them to take that away. And you need to tell them on behalf of me and on the basis of the Bible that being a Gentile, that means to be lost when you die. So you have to tell them without God, they are in a great danger and they don't know it. When there comes no mission unto them, then they die the way they lived. Do we see here the heavy, heavy load upon the churches for missionary laborers? Because having this whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and in many languages, and that's one of the first things what they do in mission, that they try to begin to translate the Bible in their language, while they don't have a grammatical language or anything. But the Bible need to be distributed among them. That is, in the words, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And then is the question, how do you meet them? Yeah, that seems to be a very difficult inheritance. It is. But you have with you your Bible. And me, who gave you that Bible, you come among them on behalf of me. A required supplication, a foretold regeneration. When it says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, congregation, there is involved their conversion. And how is that going then? Well, that is now your speaking and preaching to them. And you are doing that on behalf of the Lord himself. You are doing that with the desire in your heart that it will be accepted. That it shall receive it. And you do it also on the right time. We all have our relations and contacts with others. And it is necessary we have also our place in the community. We say that so often to the confession classes too. Take care that you do your job 110%. That they will say, yeah, his or her doctrine is that old-fashioned, but what they here do, I wish they were all that way. I remember the examples, how business people told me when our people was in their business, that they say they are as examples that belongs to the word inheritance. Oh, young people, every sermon that is something of that inheritance, every Lord's Day, every explanation in your classroom by your teacher, that all belongs to that inheritance. When father and mother, if you still have them, are with you at the table, then for sure they read the Bible. And we told you so often, don't close that Bible, but a few questions about what was read to them. And they can give answers so original that you say, I need to write that down. Because there is sometimes a talent in children that it is for adults amazing. That the heathen for thine inheritance. Now, reverently speaking, is there not, I dare hardly to say, but is there not a better inheritance? Because that heathen has nothing. He doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know the doctrine. They don't know our culture. No. Because my second point, a foretold regeneration. Because in the words, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, that is including their conversion. That's a gift of God. He shall take care that that inheritance will receive what they need to have. And that is also when there is a praying church, when they know about missionary ministers, that they seek the Lord for their help. Ask of me, that's the beginning. But that inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, a foretold regeneration, but then also the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So that means then you want to have island behind island and to become a very wealthy person. No, it's not material. A very remarkable and worldwide incorporation. So a foretold regeneration, but then also a very remarkable and worldwide incorporation. What is that incorporation? That is nothing else than that the ones who are in front of you, unknown with our doctrine, that by your regular and biblical preaching to them, with the help and the presence of the Holy Spirit, there comes that great change in their life from spiritual death to spiritual life. And it need to be, when we are in the community, you have your job, you have your outwardly things, but if you can work for 10 or 20 years with one and the same person, and there is never ever opportunity to say a few things about the Bible when it is Monday after the Lord's Day, oh congregation, then in the day of days they shall testify against you. And they will say, what you all knew. Was I not worthy to know that? Do we understand, and that's also for Canada and the US, the ignorance of the Bible is among millions. millions. And that small portion that still have that Bible, even among them, is still a selection necessary. Ask of me a required supplication, a foretold regeneration. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, but that has nothing material in it. No, that is that the souls will be saved. That's the purpose of the whole book of the Psalms too, of the whole Bible. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's not only your own country. And it is especially to mission, of course, you understand that. A very remarkable and worldwide incorporation. A congregation where we may know our doctrine. We do not become all missionary ministers. No, eh? But there are among members people who have sometimes even more talents than the missionary minister himself. And especially when the Lord opens their mouth. And we say that so often to the confession classes in the countries where we were. That we say, young people, why are you sitting here? Why may I explain you the doctrine of God's free and sovereign grace? Why may I explain to you who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is? Why? That is that you shall be prepared to meet them. And that is every week closer by. And then to realize the ignorance of the millions around us. How they spend the Lord's Day at this moment in way different things. Where is here the government to warn them? There is no warning. They do it the same way. Oh, do we understand on what the downward slope we are living with all the cities and the countries? Is it not a wonder that we still have our places? When a number of years ago we were walking here around, shall we put it in this direction or that direction? And it all went well. That all went well. And it was located here, and you sit here, and I may stand here. But to what end? To give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Is that already our possession? Yeah, you say, I'm not a missionary minister. No, eh? But when you are upon your knees, do you then not have that possession in your prayer? Are they not given to you? Is not your doctrine that also has to become their doctrine? Oh, a very remarkable and worldwide incorporation. Uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then we know there are among us who also have to travel sometimes the whole parts of the world. And also in the ministry too, that the Lord has brought us at many places. But congregation, when you fly, we once flew over Shanghai, more than once, on the way to New Zealand from Amsterdam. Now you make your stop in China, and then the last part of the trip. A whole hour. Just with the normal speed, he flew over that city. A whole hour. And you saw all houses, houses, houses. Grey, not clean. There are millions of fellow travelers to eternity. And as far as we know, maybe little places, but we don't have any church there. And that is one city, but there are so many. And yet, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Well, you can ask me, has the Lord that any possession then? Not as we have it in churches, but maybe individual, as families, that's possible. But in general, no congregation, there is no doctrine, or the wrong one. And they have the same soul as we have. They need to meet the same God. Oh, do you see the distinguishment? Do you understand? And do you also admire that you are set apart? Yeah, but do you mean now outwardly? Yeah, I say first outwardly, yes. Because if we would have them among us, they understand nothing of these things, but you grew up with it, most of us. But then is the next step, of course, and that is in the Psalms so clear, is now that word of God. And that instruction of the Bible, has that already opened your heart? We read it so nice of that Lydia. That was not a poor lady. But when she heard Paul, and that is so nice in the Bible, that is a short statement, the Lord opened her heart. Children, has that taken place already? That you came home? And that you went maybe to your sleeping room first to bow your knees, but then back in the house, yeah. I don't know how to tell it. But I think there was in that sermon something for me. And then as parents you have to be so careful. But that is already something if they say that. And then maybe you can find out what was that then. What do you think that was for you? Oh, boys and girls, do you listen? Do you have sometimes questions for your parents, if you still have parents, about a sermon, about the Bible? Oh, children, I hope not that your precious time is wasted with so much that is available on internet. Because it seems to be attractive, but it is waste of time. Waste of time. Then the text says different things. The uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That we shall have them also in our prayer upon our knees. And that they may become our possession doctrine-wise, scriptural-wise. And then it is one flock. And one shepherd congregation. And the text says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. A very remarkable worldwide incorporation. Let us sing. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1 through 4. Now the king in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of his suppliant voice. What follows? Psalter 45, the stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, the first words of the text, that Psalm 2 verse 8, that we read, ask of me. So the beginning of the text, that is, that we are invited to ask. And that me, that is in the whole Psalm very clear, that is the Lord himself. So he comes to us through the Bible and through the preaching in a very understandable way. Boys and girls, when you have a question and you still may have a father and mother, then I think they are the first one to whom you will ask your question. Or you ask it older brothers or sisters. You ask it at school, when the teacher has explained certain things about Bible, history, and all the other subjects at school. Then they sometimes ask at the moment, and are there still questions? And maybe there are. And sometimes and you ask a question that they themselves need to think about the answer, that they say, well, give me some time. I need to look that up a little bit. And maybe the Lord willing tomorrow or another day, I hope to answer. Because we know that, parents, that children can be very original in their question. That you are amazed, that you say, oh, what is there already much going on in that little hat? But now the Lord says to us, ask of me. I think that nobody this morning left his home, sleeping room, or table, or there was a prayer. And that prayer, if we think about the prayer of the scripture, what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, our Father, that is already a beginning. Our Father, if it is true in our life, then our conversion, then we are allowed to say, our Father. But it is often in spiritual life that it takes some time ere they are that far congregation. And yet, the text says it so clear, ask of me. But then, of course, that me, that is for all of us, time and again, a matter of to investigate. Is that now the Lord? Yeah, that is the Lord. And why are you sitting here? Well, I sit here to listen. When there is a minister or an elder reading, then I hear about the Lord. That whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that is of God. And now the text begins with that, ask of me. And I say that more often, that sometimes parents say to children, to whom are you talking? Sometimes not so polite. Do you know to whom you are talking? But if now the text says this morning, ask of me, take tribute. How is that about you? That two letters, me. That he came in your life already. Oh, the one is more clear about the beginning than the other. There are among us people that can say even what time it was that it happened. But there are others, they say, you know, if they ask me that question, that corners me. Because I know a change, but to say at that hour and that day, I don't. But the Bible says we shall see it in the fruits of the life. And now I think there is nobody here, and of the listeners, wherever you are listening, or you are praying, oh yes, oh yes. And that is, of course, when you are a father of a family, you have your meals with your wife, your children, if you still may have them. Then it is a prayer that is done by one speaking, but we pray with them. Do you hear that, boys and girls, that your thoughts have not to travel all over the world while one is praying, father or mother, or teacher, or minister, or elder, that you have then also to pray with them. And now that ask of me, O congregation. God's demand for asking was my theme. A required supplication. a foretold regeneration, but then also a very remarkable and worldwide incorporation, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That means then the church is then worldwide, is also under one head, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we are here just a small part of that whole church. But it's always the very personal question. How you say, I pray every day, but I miss that true prayer. I think it is just with my mouth. And if it now is, it says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Upon that prayer is that answer. But then we understand that answer, congregation, ask of me, that did not only come out of their mouth, but that was living in their heart. And that is now for all of us the necessity, that we have a beginning of God in our life. And now that is possible that you say, yeah, that beginning is just my struggle. As some people can say, the hour and the day. But we also know there are the fruits of a beginning. And it's the first fruit. It is so nice in the Bible. When the Lord stopped at Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he, with all his religion, he had to ask, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered that question. He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, congregation. He prayed as a Pharisee from his youth. But now he had to learn that all those prayers had no value in the eyes of God. And then Ananias, he had to go to visit him. But he was reluctant. But the Lord took that away by saying, behold, he prayed. That's not that old man anymore. That man lays there in his guilt. He get it all back, what he has done. The Bible says that he had the pleasure when God's children were killed as martyrs. That was with his agreement, and he was still young. But then when the Lord stopped him, and then Ananias had to go when he was afraid. But the Lord says, behold, he prayed. He says, I zeg, mijn jongen, gaat er maar naartoe. You have not to be afraid. That man lays there in his guilt. Can you lay beside him? Yeah, you say, you know, that need to happen, but I cannot do it. That's true. But if it never happens, what then? Oh, do we understand the reality of life, and that every sermon is an appeal from the Lord to your heart? That it has to drive you out to that living God, congregation. And you shall never forget that time when he brought you upon your knees. And there you begin to confess your sins to the Lord. There you throw it up. And you reveal it to him. That is also to be unburdened, because that burden is so heavy. And then the Lord does not cast them away. No, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. That is here, that he gives those blind people to the missionary ministers, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That means you have to go there on behalf of me, and your preaching will be used by me for their conversion. How many sermons have been preached to you already? It was in my calling letter to Lethbridge years ago that they were busy with a new church here. And I don't go into it because I told it you so often. But that became the main task and the main job. And we had a cooperation together with the people who were involved. And what was now the nice thing, and what is the nice thing, that we have people who are asking, oh, Manson, have you still questions? Or have you no questions? Are you satisfied with this life and what you can do? Oh, it is too short. You need to become a beggar at the throne of grace. That says the text, ask of me. And you need to remain a beggar till the last breath in your life. But then they shall receive forever such an answer that is satisfaction, congregation. Then the Lord has reached his goal with that person, but that begins with ask of me. And now we can have many questions. And there are also for the daily life many questions. And we also need to be able to answer them, not to lay them aside. But this is a question that is about spiritual things, that is about eternity. And then it's so necessary, as we mention that so often, when children speak to their parents, sometimes not that polite, that they say, to whom are you talking? But then we in our asking, oh, Pixibute, may I then ask you this morning? Well, my thoughts are also going back to the early beginning. As it was such a nice time to see the beginning of a new congregation. But what is now the main thing? Do we have asking people? Do we have people who are waiting for an answer? If that asking is true, then sooner or later you shall get that answer. And as long as they don't have it, they belong to the missing church. But the missing church is also maintained by God. It is more serious if we don't have questions. That is then an indication of our state, spiritual wise, death. Congregation, ask of me, that is living, that is life. That is an invitation, but it is also a command. And you are in the time to ask. And do not think that you have right away an answer, but I hope that you cannot give it up anymore. And it is very well possible that then elders are coming to visit. And it is always good to make some notes when you come home about the visit. And they say, you know, it is maybe a year ago, but tonight there were other questions than that year ago. It is possible that the Lord is doing something, and that begins with asking. Now take that now with you. If you have that question also to the Lord, which one? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was now Paul's question when the Lord stopped him. Congregation. He had never asked that before. He was a nice Pharisee in his own estimation, but now it is a different one. And brothers, you know it. There's not in every home that you have opening. But then at once, when you are at the end, and you go to a family, there is also one at his end or her. And it is just the time when you may come. And that person may open up. And he or she tells you how miserable they are. Oh, my ears. There is not a nicer verdict than to listen to such a one. I have not the words to tell it you what that is. There sit one in front of you who is missing God, having nothing, and in heaven the angels, they know it already that that has taken place. Yeah. That will be announced there, that they know more about it than here. And you may follow that life. Oh, that become a seeking and a missing people. That's the value of the congregation. That's, so to speak, how much we are worth. Of course, you understand in what climate I say that. Because where the two or three are gathered in my name, do you then understand, Pixie Butte, that we cannot, but we are willing to give it to each one of you, but that is not possible. God can do that, but we have to present it to you. That is the text, ask of me. And that is a psalm, that is God speaking to you. Take that now with you, boys and girls. And you can never ask too much to the Lord. And he is a God, oh, he knows all the answers. He knows the inside and the outside. And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. He says, then you get the church from heathens, but they will become converted, that wonder. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Do we see here the value of it? You are also the uttermost parts of the earth in a way. Of course we are. When you think about Africa, you think about Israel. And then here in North America. But for the Lord there are no distances. I have to close. Oh, congregation. May he bless the words that has been brought to you. There is always something when I go back to the beginning. At one side how difficult it was, and at the other side how good it was. And how hitherto the Lord has given you what you need. Shall you love one another? Children, shall you obey your dear parents if you have them? Marriage, one, shall you be faithful to one another? And shall you be found upon your knees or in your truck with your hands folded, being a beggar at the throne? And the Lord has for beggars enough to satisfy them with what? With the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Ghost. And that is a satisfaction, has here a beginning, but has no end. Amen. Lord, we beseech thee, if thou will use the words that have been spoken, that is always with many, many shortcomings. Tis a stammering work, but we have not to complain about the attention. we besiege thee, which seems to be impossible, and yet we ask it, if thou wilt work in every heart, from the youngest to the oldest. This many years ago, when it was laid upon us to make a beginning with a new church, and how still we may be among them for a moment, oh, remember them all. Will thou help in the daily task? Will thou help in marriage life? Widowers, widows, empty places of dear children, handicapped ones, we commend it all unto thee. Be with the brothers, elders, and the deacons, and the brother minister. Use him as a tool in thy hands to serve this people faithfully. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins and acknowledgement for thy help. Amen. Our closing psalter is 422, the stanzas 5 and 6. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who, when they hear thy voice, in happiness abound. And 6, thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power, thy sovereign grace is ever our fortress, and our tower. We have to announce the extra collection today is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association, and there will be a midweek service this coming Thursday, July 25 at 7:30 p.m. and the banner of truth is at the exit. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.